such an amazing guest for you guys tonight. I mean, you all know that I am super interested in exposing the satanic influences on our planet and also the extent of the mind control that is happening from the minute we enter this dimension through the gates of hospital birth. These entities are standing there at the gate, ready to harness souls and ready to alter the minds of newly born infants through extreme trauma and torture. And so tonight we're going to be talking to Mark Passio. And Mark Passio has intimate experience with Satanism. Let me go ahead and read you his bio so that you know a little bit more about who he is. Mark Passio is an independent researcher, a public speaker, a radio talk show host, a conference organizer, and a freedom activist from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mark has undertaken the task of assembling vast amounts of research in the areas of metaphysics, occultism, spirituality, symbology, and consciousness studies. In 2007, Mark began presenting this information in the form of a presentation series entitled, What on Earth is Happening?, with the intention of bringing the implications of this body of knowledge to greater public awareness. Mark has his own website that he launched in 2008. It's called whatonearthishappening.com. Mark began hosting his own weekly internet radio shows, also called What on Earth is Happening? And that's still going on today. You can listen to his podcasts on his website at What on Earth is Happening? And he's also one of the co-hosts of the Free Your Mind conference in Philadelphia. And that conference was all about exposing mind control and the occult. I'm so sorry I was not there. So I want to also say that Mark has been closely working with activist groups in the areas of Telsa science, truth, freedom, prosperity, and survive and thrive. So his latest endeavor is teaching an intensive seminar called Natural Law, the real law of attraction and how to apply it in your life. Mark, I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Janice, thank you so much for inviting me on tonight.
Oh, heck, you know, it's so what you have experienced in your life and the wisdom that you have gathered together in yourself and have put together through your website and all of your podcasts and all of the radio shows that you're doing. It's just amazing to me that I think it's a blessing that you're on the planet, number one, and I'm really thrilled that you're here for the people who are listening to my show because what you have to say is extremely important. So I just want to start people sort of at the beginning with you, in case they don't know who you are. If you'll tell them a little bit about your background and how you got involved with studying Satanism and how you came to the place where you are today.
Sure. Well, I had a pretty traditional, I guess you could say, quote unquote, normal upbringing in South Philadelphia on the East Coast of the United States. And the background of the family that I came from is Italian-American and Roman Catholic. And they're the kind of people that really don't question much of the received reality, you know, the matrix reality. They just basically go along to get along and, you know, take the belief systems that were given to them by their parents and their grandparents and then give that to their children and, again, don't really question much. So when I was a youth, you know, I was basically given a lot of religious indoctrination and programmed with a lot of unquestioning religious dogma, which I was given by family members and also school teachers. I started really to question that as I got toward the end of my grade school years. But basically, when I began to question those dogmatic beliefs, I still lacked a lot of knowledge about what really religions were about and how they were a control mechanism to control the way people think and therefore to control their behavior. I also lacked a lot of the knowledge of astrotheology, which explains so much about what organized religious dogma is actually about. And In lacking that knowledge, in that level of ignorance, the feelings that I had about being indoctrinated into this orthodox form of religious belief systems led to a lot of anger and ultimately to hatred. And what I sought to do at that time was gravitate to the complete opposite of that belief system, which I could find, the absolute polar antithesis of that belief system. And I very much found it in the form of Satanism. And I got involved in dark occultism in my high school years and after.
Because I have a young man, a friend on Facebook. He's actually the son of one of my friends, and he's been involved in Satanism too. And you can tell by the way he talks and the things that he says. You know, and I just wonder what it is that brings a young adult into the world of Satanism other than wanting to, you know, move away from Christianity. Because I'm brought up like you, Mark. I also in a East Coast Roman Catholic Italian family where people don't question, but they spit out dogmatic nonsense as if it were fact or truth.
Right. Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that does drive people to that is it's a dialectic. You know, just like left versus right, Republican versus Democrat, you figure, well, if I'm through with this, then let me go to the opposite, the thing that plays off against that thing and, you know, preaches the opposite in many cases of what this original ideology espoused. So that was where my mindset was at the time. I'm going to go to the thing that is the exact opposite of, you know, what this is, because I want to get away from this.
Uh-huh.
So,
how is it the opposite?
Well, the things that it teaches are basically that there is no morality. You know, Catholicism stressed a specific style of moral teachings. What I would say are not quite in keeping with natural law, which is what I talk about today and try to get people to understand what real morality is about. It's a form of dogmatic beliefs practiced in religions that are often based on preferences and whims just as much as, you know, a legal system is, or a political system is based on preferences and whims. Satanism throws all morality out the window and basically teaches moral relativism. It's one of the main tenets of the ideology, that there is no right and wrong, and that man could just get to make those up based on his preferences and whims. And what's good for you is what's ultimately good, and what's bad for you is what's ultimately bad. And those things can change depending on, you know, your own position, your own preferences, etc. So another thing that it teaches is that the self is essentially the God in this religion. So you're not looking at any kind of an external savior. You're not looking at any kind of external deities. The ego is placed upon a pedestal and not worshipped, but looked at as the highest thing in the universe, that there is no higher power beyond the ego. The human ego, the lower self, is ultimately the God in this religion. And that's kind of where, again, my mindset was when I was younger. I wanted to get away from religious dogma and indoctrination and limitation of that I was placed under in that belief system. And I wanted to go to something that stressed individuality, but this did it in a way that was completely over the top and done in a way that lacked any sense of moral fiber whatsoever. So that's one of the main tenets, is that the self is the highest thing in the universe, and there is no higher power, so ultimately self-preservation becomes the highest law in this religion. Whatever you need to do to put yourself into a higher position, even if it's at the expense of other people, then do it. That's one of the main tenets. Again, that goes hand in hand with moral relativism, which is another of its main tenets. Of course, we can see that this is a very slippery slope to things like social Darwinism, eugenics, and totalitarian societies. I would say ultimately those types of societies, those types of regimes are satanic. And we're going in that direction because America is actually becoming more and more of a satanic society that is based on, I don't want to even call them values. It's based on an ideology that ultimately has Satanism at its foundation, at its base way of thinking. And people don't even understand that or know that that's the case. Many people are...
Actually, the foundation of this country is based on Masonic structures, Masonic belief systems, that Satanism has been the core and the foundation of this country. This country is founded on genocide and the theft of other people's land. You know, it's been evil from its inception. That's my perspective. And I just want to say one other thing before what you're saying goes on, because what you're saying is important. I hate to interrupt, but when I look at Christianity and I see the fact that Christians are involved in the ritual consumption of human blood and body parts of a sacrificed man, and I see them wearing symbols of human sacrifice around their necks and hanging them in their homes and all over their, you know, in their bedrooms, around their bed, in their car. I mean, I see the infiltration of Satanism everywhere. Everywhere you turn, religion is, every religion is fundamentally created from these same people, you know?
Yeah, and I mean...
It's been used to destroy people's understanding of the real creator. It's a malevolent attempt to destroy their connection.
Yeah, I look at what the whole perversion of Christianity is they needed to take people away from the real core original esoteric teachings that were contained within it and put them into an entirely different mindset so that the core values and the understanding of morals would be lacking and that they would focus on a bunch of essentially nonsense and things that were all based on astrotheological underpinnings, astrotheological constructs, worshiping, astronomical bodies in the sky, as opposed to understanding real concepts regarding right and wrong. They needed to do that because if the true original esoteric teachings of early Christianity had spread like wildfire, that would have been the end of the control system back in those days when the Roman Empire was ruling the earth. So they had to do something to dissuade people from those original teachings and put them onto a solar cult religion, which is what modern Christianity actually is, if we know anything about astrotheology and how Christianity is actually, modern Christianity at least, is actually a solar cult religion based on ancient pagan ideas of astrotheology. So, and that was all, of course, done around the Council of Nicaea and Constantine.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Christians and Jews are basically worshiping the same God. I mean, Christians have an additional deity they call Jesus, the guy that was sacrificed in the most brutal and satanic way imaginable. But basically, the Father is the same deity in the Jewish and Christian tradition. And this is a deity that is clearly a demon because he is a war god, you know. I don't know anything about this astrotheology. I'd like you to say more. But the God that these people are worshiping is a God of war, a God that tells them to go to war, to take other people's land, to take other people's possessions, to take women and children as booty, to sacrifice their firstborn children to him, to sacrifice animals to him, to cut off a piece of their infant son's penis in order to create a covenant with him. I mean, he's a jealous, vengeful, you know, mean-spirited, punishing, not a nice entity, even remotely. And here's where Satanism is so powerful, because they can twist what I just told you into the idea that God is love.
Right.
And people are not noticing, you know, the discrepancy between what this God is doing and the fact that they're being told that this is a loving God.
Right. Now, this is all contingent upon someone's belief that that, quote, God that is spoken of in the Old Testament scriptures is the God of creation. And I would say that nothing could be further from the truth. We're talking about a completely different entity altogether. And I would suggest we're not talking about a single entity when we're talking about the concept that is laid out in the Old Testament scriptures. We're talking about multiple entities. We're talking about the gods. And, yeah. You know, this goes into the ancient history and the origins of humanity. And it's something I'm going to be talking a whole lot about on future What on Earth is Happening podcasts, because if we really want to understand the human condition, we have to get down to human origins. We have to get down to where we came from and what led to the current conditions, yeah. What happened here that led to the conditions that we're experiencing now. So I would agree that, in fact, that God that we're talking about in the Old Testament scriptures has absolutely nothing to do with the God of creation that is the underlying intelligence that underlies everything in the universe.
Can I say something here, too?
Sure.
Because the God of the Bible, the demon that people are worshiping, is actually the God of the technological world. And the technological world has been superimposed over the original creation of the loving source. Okay? We are immersed in a satanic, infested creation called the technocratic world. And that deity is the God of the technocratic world. And anybody worshiping that God is probably heavily invested in being part of this satanic overlay onto what is real and what is beautiful and what is good and what is sacred.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the idea of using technology in the forms that it's being used today is definitely a perversion of what technology is supposed to be for. Which is to enhance human life and not to be used as a control mechanism in order to put people into bondage, which is how it's largely being used in today's society. Again, it's a dual-edged sword, though, because we can use it to do things like putting forward a radio show like this, which can help to wake people up and come to a state of consciousness such that they don't use tools such as technology in that fashion. But definitely, I agree that that entity that we're talking about in the Old Testament, or I would say group of entities, is the gods, and quote-unquote, not that they're gods, but creators, if you will, of a system, and it's a system of slavery that is ongoing onto today, right up to our current times. And it is a satanic system, because any system that is based in slavery is based in dividing people and ultimately controlling people. So that's as satanic as it gets. I mean, if I had to sum up what Satanism is all about, I could basically do it like this. It's about the ego that is so out of control, and the masculine component of the being so detached and so run away from the sacred feminine aspect, the balancing feminine aspect of the being, that person or group of people believes that they're the God of creation, that they're God, capital G, and can do whatever they want, including make up right and wrong for themselves and decide and lay down whatever law they say, and that's what people have to do. They issue commands and others have to follow them. They can ultimately decide who gets to live and who gets to die. And that's about as satanic as it gets. I mean, that to me is as good of a definition of what a satanic worldview is that I could think of. And that's really what we're experiencing right now. And like I was saying before, most people think in their own minds very along the lines of Satanism, but yet they don't really even understand what the ideology of Satanism is. When you say Satanism to them, they think of the devil with horns and a pitchfork and, you know, casting spells and all of this. And that's not what Satanism is. Satanism is an ideology, and it's a way of viewing yourself in the world and viewing others in the world, and it's a way of living life. It's a way of being in the world. And it is the exact opposite of any modality of being in the world that could lead to true freedom, that could lead to peace, prosperity, or anything resembling any of those conditions. Satanism is, when you hold this mindset in your psyche, all that it can lead to is chaos, death, destruction, and slavery. And that's why we're experiencing those modalities of being, because people are thinking along the lines of Satanism and don't even realize it because they don't even know what the satanic ideology is. So America is being turned into a satanic country. The world is being turned into a satanic planet. Unfortunately, because people hold this erroneous notion about what Satanism is in their mind, they don't even understand their own belief system has been turned into something that is satanic. You can look at it as pure selfishness run amok, and that's where most people are at. They only care about themselves, maybe their family or extended family, and I say maybe, generously, and they really don't care about what's going on in the world in any larger sense, at least in general. Of course, you know, listeners to programs like this and alternative media do care somewhat and are learning more and have a desire to gain more knowledge to understand what's really going on. But I'm talking as a generalization. Our society as a whole, in general, thinks this way. They're looking out for themselves. They don't care about what's going on. You try to tell them about, you know, what's happening in the world and the loss of freedom that's going on every day and how freedom is just on the wane in every area of our lives. And most people will say, I can't concern myself with that. I don't care. I have to worry about my job, the money that I make, the food that I can, you know, bring into my house and paying my bills, etc. It's always me based thinking. That's ultimately Satanism. Now, people will have a hard time with that, and they'll say, oh, how could that be Satanism? I'm trying to explain to you Satanism is not what people think it is. It's selfishness. It's lack of concern for anybody else. It's lack of concern for what's right or wrong, and it's lack of concern for any of the wrongs or injustices that are going on in society. And it's saying, I'm only concerned with me and my life and what I can do to put myself in a better position, and I could care less about what's going on in the world or with anybody else. That is a satanic mindset. Now, Mark, and they've got most people in that mindset. Yes.
Mark, I spent, not last weekend, but the weekend before, in the company of people that it was a conference for satanic ritual abuse survivors, people that have been born into satanic families.
Right.
And I can tell you without a doubt that this is deeper than an ego that just wants to take care of itself. This is the depths of evil to which the human psyche that has been corrupted can go, to the extent that they're willing to torture their own children.
Sure.
And murder children. It's extremely dark.
So what you're talking about here, Janice, is the actual controllers at the highest level of this hierarchical system of control that's been built up and maintained on this planet basically since humanity has been here.
We've got like 100,000 plus satanic families in the United States alone. That's what Jay Parker says, right? And, you know, Jay Parker's one of the brilliant people talking about what's happened to him being born into these families and the unbelievable amount of abuse and torture that these kids, these babies,
sure,
these young children are put through.
And they're doing that to basically lock them into a specific mindset and a specific way of thinking so that they will basically follow their orders and dictates and then propagate their control system and won't ever want to leave it or try to get out of it.
It seems to me, I mean, I know the children that are born into satanic families are going through extreme hell, but the Satanism is so extensive that every child that's born in the United States in a hospital is subjected to satanic-based ritual torture, including having a piece of their penis cut off right. without anesthesia while they are strapped to boards.
Right.
So the torture is happening to all of us in an effort to cause dissociation, to
right.
cause, you know, mutilation of the mind, to cause a separation from the body and the spirit.
Yes, and to go back to what you were saying earlier, to make a to distinguish a bit from the high level Satanists that are multi-generational family bloodlines that go back into the ancient world and come down in the modern day as the people in high positions of power in every, you know, world institution. When we're talking about the satanic hierarchy and network of people who actually follow Satanism as a religion knowingly. The satanic mindset that I was referring to earlier is what they propagate out through the media and through their indoctrination system that is laughingly called an educational system here in America and throughout the world.
I know.
But they're giving them, they're giving people this watered down, I guess you could say, or lower level form of Satanism to latch onto and to believe in. That's how they can ensure that they're controlling those people, because they're actually bringing them in under this banner of their own belief system, although in a more watered down way. And they're not calling it Satanism. So it's done under this guise of, okay, well, you're only supposed to look out for number one, and you're only supposed to be, you know, concerned with yourself and put your head down and do your work and just worry about you and your family. But what they're not, what people don't understand is that is actually bringing the mindset of the vast majority of people into their own mindset in a lower form, in a more, again, a more watered down variant of their religious belief that they are practicing at a very, very much a conscious level at the higher levels of this satanic hierarchical network that is essentially running all the institutions of the world. Just so, you know, so, we make it to distinguish a bit between the actual practicing Satanists knowingly, knowing practicing Satanists that are running the institutions of Earth versus, you know, the watered-down mindset of a satanic worldview, you could say, that they're propagating to the masses of the people of the Earth.
And also that they're probably using to lure in young, vulnerable minds who are,
right.
you know, disgruntled with the world
yes.
that you can clearly see is not doing them any good, is only going to do them harm. So the
right.
young people are searching, you know?
And that was very much my position. That was my situation earlier in life. I was one of those disgruntled youths who fell into that mindset. And what they're doing that for is to try to psychologically filter a segment of the population. In other words, they're putting out their ideology in a more open way in recent years through things like the Church of Satan, the Temple of Set, etc., so that they can actually locate in the population more easily people who have a more deeply imbalanced variation of this mindset. And I would say they are looking for people who are borderline psychopathic or have psychopathic tendencies toward secondary psychopathy. And they want to bring those people up into their lower levels of their network, of their hierarchical network, so that they can use their skills, use specific traits and skill sets that they have at their disposal through these individuals, and basically put them to work for their agenda and groom them into positions of power in society so that they're placed there as point men, so that when an agenda needs to be carried out, those people are already in those positions and they will readily do what they are told because they were basically worked into those positions by that network, and they would dare not go against it because that network would probably very easily be able to take away what it had given to them in the first place. So that's really what these lower-level organizations that I became involved with one of them being the Church of Satan. That's what they're for. They act as a psychological filtration system and a vetting system for people that they're interfacing with at the level of the public to groom up into some positions of power as point men.
And would you say that you yourself had psychopathic tendencies when you were young? Or?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How did that show up, Mark?
Again, my mindset was I don't really care about anybody else but me back then. My mindset was I want to know whatever I need to know to get over on other people so that I come out on top, and you know, even if it means that they have to lose in the process. You know, it was an attitude of pure selfishness. And again, that's why this is fostered, because that's what's needed to perpetuate their control system. They need more people thinking like that. Once people start thinking, no, we can all win, and there doesn't have to be losers. We can have a win-win situation instead of win-lose. For everybody to win, there doesn't need to be losers. Okay, you don't need to walk all over other people. You know, it's about cooperation instead of absolute dog-eat-dog competition. This is all based on, Satanism is based on Darwinism, ultimately. It's based on the erroneous notion that the concept of survival of the fittest means survival of the most ruthless, the most barbarous, the ones that are willing to do whatever you know, they can to put the hurt on others so that they come out on top. This is a completely erroneous notion, first of all, of the quote natural order. That's not the natural order at all. That's the that's chaos. It's not anything to do with order. That's called chaos and evil. And you know, when you take that into the human domain, that becomes social Darwinism. The idea that whoever can manipulate the best, whoever can lie and deceive to other people so that they come out on top, well, they're the ones who deserve to rule the roost. And that's what Satanism basically entails. It's one of the core tenets is social Darwinism. The four main core tenets, again, self-preservation and the ego being essentially the God, that's the first tenet. Moral relativism, the idea that there is no such thing as objective right and wrong, which I want to talk about a little bit tonight.
And I want you to, yes.
Concept of moral relativism and where
that's
we see
true.
It. Yep. Social Darwinism is the third, which I just briefly spoke about. And eugenics is the fourth. And that's, you know, where basically it all goes to. It all goes to the idea that, well, since we're the superior animal on the earth, we Satanists, then, you know, we get to decide who lives and who dies. This is what Nazism really was in a nutshell. Nazism was Satanism with a different name. All forms of totalitarianism are Satanism with a different name. Communism is Satanism with a different name. Okay? It's all the same thing, because it's all about man attaining ultimate power as a god and being able to tell anybody what to do, and they have to listen to them. They have to have some sort of a moral obligation to obey the commands of the ruling class. And then if, you know, they so decide, they can start deciding who lives and who dies. That's what eugenics is. That's what it all ultimately comes down to. Once you go through these other tenets, it's a slippery slope into eugenics. And, you know, that's what we're even seeing today in a soft form, with the kinds of poisons in the food and water system, with the kinds of healthcare programs that are getting ready to be brought into manifestation, you know, that are ultimately eugenics programs in disguise, because they realize that some people are wise to their plans and their agendas, and they're trying to do this in a more covert way. And one of the most covert ways is to get into the minds of people and change their thinking so that they're actually ascribing to a religion without even knowing it. And that's what we have in America today. We have, I'll just give a couple of anecdotes real quick. I was talking to a family member a couple of years ago. I think it's been now maybe a year and a half. And I went to them with a list of the tenets of Satanism printed out on a couple of regular 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper. And I covered the title up. I put like another piece of white paper with some tape over the title and presented this two-page document to a family member. I won't name them. And it basically described the entire philosophy, I shouldn't even say philosophy, it described the entire ideology of Satanism in a nutshell, point by point. And I said, can you read this and tell me what you think about this? Because I had suspected for a while that this person was becoming or had already become a secondary psychopath. And again, for people who don't know what that is, and there are people who will insist there is no such thing. You know, I get emails all the time, and if you're one of these people who would try to write to me, don't bother, okay, because I know that psychopathy exists. I've been around enough psychopaths in my life. I was a borderline psychopath at one time in my life. So not only do I think that it exists, I know that it exists. It's not a belief, okay? People like to group in things like this, which actually do exist, with, you know, imaginary and invented diseases like ADHD and things like that that are all part of the psychiatrist DSM manual, you know, that is ultimately there to invent new illnesses so they can come up with some new prescription drugs to put people on and make money. Psychopathy is not one of those things. It really exists in the world. And so for people who don't know, psychopathy is a psychological disease whereby people have lost the ability, or actually in the case of primary psychopaths, never had the ability to empathize with other human beings. They don't have parts of the brain working properly that allow for emotions to be experienced in the physiology. So for emotions to be experienced in the physiology, there's neuropeptides and other neurotransmitters that are generated by the midbrain. And then those chemicals are manufactured when specific stimuli happen in a person's life. And then that goes into the physiology, and we feel that as emotions. Okay, we feel in our body the repercussions of the behaviors that we've taken regarding other people and their lives. So, for example, if we hurt somebody and we didn't really want to hurt them, we may feel sadness. Okay, if somebody else experiences pleasure and we really like that person, we'd feel joy for them. Well, there are people in the world who, by birth, don't have the ability to experience that range of emotions. And again, the roots of psychopathy is something that we don't really have too much time to get in here into today, or it would take up the whole rest of the show. But I'll be getting into some of that, the actual where psychopathy comes from. This is one of the reasons people don't want to even accept that it exists. People would have to wrestle with the implications of the existence of this condition. That's why they don't want to even deal with it. Yes, go ahead.
And let's wrestle with the implications of women who are consciously conceiving babies in satanic families, and they're doing ceremonies to try to put demons into the fetus while the baby's still in the womb. Okay, let's talk about the ramifications of putting a baby on an altar next to another baby that's being sacrificed and wiping blood all over that baby from the sacrificed infant or the sacrificed animal. Let's talk about the psychological implications of putting this infant into a coffin filled with human blood and doing this kind of shit repeatedly. Excuse my mouth. Doing this repeatedly to newborn infants, to very young children. Let's talk about the ramifications of never being able to bond with another human being. And then they have you bond with a dog and have you murder the dog when you're three or 4 years old. Let's talk about the origins of psychopathy, because it is in Satanism.
Sure.
Babies don't come on into this dimension psychopathic. They are completely tortured. You have to subject an infant to extreme abuse, deprivation, torture, and unbelievable amounts of trauma to turn that infant into an adult that doesn't feel anything.
Yeah, and there are people who insist that those people who are doing that aren't psychopaths. You know, how could anybody possibly do that to another human being and not be a psychopath? How could they possibly have the ability to feel and to empathize and do a behavior like that? So the people who don't want to recognize that psychopathy exists don't want to wrestle with the implications of where it comes from, because there's a couple of possible answers to where does psychopathy come from. You could say it comes from God, which is very, very uncomfortable for most people to accept. Yes, agreed. But again, that's one of the possibilities. People won't want to wrestle with that possibility. Now, what's another possibility? That it comes from human beings themselves. Okay?
It comes from the opposite of God.
Right. If God put it here, that's a very powerful thing to implication to wrestle with.
That's a lie.
If human beings did this to themselves at some point in our evolutionary development, that would also be a very difficult thing to wrestle with, implication-wise, in most people's minds. But what if some other entity did this to us? That's the third implication, okay? All of them are uncomfortable and painful, and people would not want to even think about any of those possibilities. So they would rather just say, let's sweep it all under the rug and call it an illusion and say it doesn't exist. It's just like other made-up psychological disorders, you know, to sell people a pill or sell them a book. And I would suggest that nothing could be further from the truth. There is such a thing as psychopathy. It exists. I've been around psychopaths in my life. See, I would suggest that the people who insist that it doesn't exist have never really been around a psychopath in their life, and they've been fortunate not to have. You know, if they were around a psychopath, especially multiple ones, and for long enough, all doubt would flee from their mind as to whether this condition really exists amongst us. And it most certainly does. So, but the point that got me onto the topic of psychopathy and talking about the possible implications of where psychopathy came from is I was saying that I had suspected for a while that this family member that I was getting ready to show these satanic tenets, the underlying ideologies of Satanism to this family member, I had suspected for a while that they had become a psychopath. And again, this can be done through conditions. There's something called primary psychopathy, and then there's secondary psychopathy, which happens over time depending on conditions that someone has experienced in their life that is traumatizing them, and it is basically beating the soul down so much that it essentially has given up and it says, I'm not going to feel anything. Okay? And I think that's where this person is at in their life. They're in that consciousness of soul deadness, and they have lost all ability to empathize with any other human being. I had suspected this because I had seen the person, the family member, at several funerals, and they displayed zero emotion at these funerals, even though the funerals were of people that they were very close to during their life. Yet there was zero display of emotion. And I mean, not even in a grieving sense where some people just shut down and just grieve quietly or don't show signs of emotions. I mean, coldness, nothing, you know? And once you see something like that, you recognize something has become almost irreparably broken in that human being. And they're living, but they're not really alive. They're existing. And go ahead.
You're not even in there. They're not even in the soul is not even in there.
Not home. Yep.
Yeah.
The biological computer of the body is functioning, and they're going through the motions of life, but they're not really there. The soul is not really present anymore. So that's what I would call a secondary psychopath. And the brain is very plastic. It is very elastic. It can come back from a lot of abuse, a lot of trauma, a lot of damage. And really, that's what psychopathy is. It's a person who's been in certain conditions for so long, their brain is actually not work. A part of the brain stops working properly. See, this is where the mind-body-spirit connection comes from. If the spirit okay? Our connection to the source is, it wanes, okay? And it's choked. Then parts of the body are going to also suffer damage. Well, when the spirit, the emotions of the human being, okay, the spirit in which they do things become deadened, that's happening also in conjunction with a part of the physiology becoming deadened. And that's the brain, the midbrain specifically, what is called scientifically the limbic system. The limbic brain has become, has stopped functioning properly. And that person...
In many cases, it's been deliberately interfered with, you know,
true,
very, very early through hospital work. I just want to say one thing. Psychopathy mm-hmm. is extensive in what we call normal society. For people to take, sure, for example, a lobster, okay, and drop it, a living being, and drop mm-hmm. it in a pot of boiling water, and then say, oh, that's not screams that you're hearing. That's just air being right. released, is a sign that these people are partially insane.
Yes.
That they have deadened their sensitivity to other life forms, that they could stamp on an insect or spray it with toxic poison so that it suffers tremendously before it dies. This is right. a sign of insanity.
Yeah. Or and just look at factory farms.
Exactly.
People working in factory farms, slaughtering animals all day long,
cutting
every day.
Cutting off their genitals, you
yep.
know? I mean, it's sick. We are in a satanic-infested reality. And
yeah,
we
and
are all partially psychopathic from living in it.
Yes, yes. And again, when those conditions become chronic, the person's soul is ultimately shutting down, and that connection to the source is being severed, and ultimately then the brain, the midbrain, stops functioning properly, even producing the chemicals and the peptides that are necessary to feel emotions in the physiology, or to do things like cry, or even just empathize with another human being, anything. All of those emotions are cut off. So I had suspected that this family member was in that state already. And whenever somebody is in that state, their mindset is also, again, body, mind, spirit. So we looked at the spiritual connection being lost. Then you looked at the body part, the brain no longer producing the chemicals that help you to feel emotions, and the mental part of the body, mind, spirit connection, that degenerates into the ideology of Satanism. Okay, so I wanted to find out if my suspicions were true. I brought them this couple of page document with all the tenets of Satanism laid out and explained succinctly, but I covered up the title. And I just said, could you please read this document? It'll take you a couple minutes, and then just tell me what you think. So they sat there, they read it, and they said, I pretty much agree with everything that's said, almost verbatim, word for word. They said, it makes sense to me. I think like that. I live like that. And I think it's fine. I think it's okay. And I think probably that's just how it is, and more people should understand that that's just how it is.
Wow.
And every one of those tenets, it explained self as God, you know, no higher power than man, step on anybody you have to get your way, self-preservation is the highest law above everything else, morality, you can throw it out the window, moral relativism, there's no such thing as right and wrong, okay, we get to make up what's good or bad, social Darwinism, survival of the most ruthless, eugenics, etc., okay, all of that was laid out in the document.
Wow.
I peeled back the tape, took the little piece of paper off from over the title. The title of the document was The Main Tenets of the Satanic Religion. Okay? And when I showed them the title of the document, I said, what do you think that this is what you've just been reading and what you just said you completely agreed with and you seem to have no problem with, and you said that's basically how you think. What do you think of that? And the response that came back from this person was, Well, then I guess that makes me a Satanist, doesn't it? That's it.
I guess so.
They absolutely had no problem with this being revealed as Satanism to them. And it wasn't like a shock or horror or dismay and like, oh, my God, how could I be thinking like this? That, you know, this is what Satanists, how Satanists think. No, it was, well, I guess I'm a Satanist then. Just like that, like nothing had happened.
Like no big deal.
No big deal.
Well, it's just mainstream, isn't it?
You know, and that brings me to another little anecdote. And again, this all goes back to the concept of, you could call it satanification of society. They're bringing in a smaller variant, a watered down variant of the religion of the real ruling classes at the highest level, the priest class that is really ruling our world, okay? And they're bringing this ideology in to the people at the lower levels so that they could be more easily and readily controlled by other people, by this priest class. See, if you're not in this ideology, if you have really discovered the truth, you can't really be controlled like this. You know, if you know the self, and you know who the enemy is, meaning the priest class that is ultimately running things and trying to turn our society into total slavery, you can't be controlled. Okay, you're not going to go along with their agenda or their program if you have that knowledge. That's why they want to keep people in ignorance, even to the extent that they give them a watered-down variant of their own ideology, but they don't even know it. Okay, the people who are accepting this poisonous worldview and religion don't even understand it because they've never looked into it a day in their life about what it really is. The other part is the vast majority of human society right now is largely morally relativistic. They subscribe to the notion of moral relativism. And again, what moral relativism is the notion that there is no such thing as objective right and wrong, that right and wrong don't really exist.
I'm right there with you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. So I recently saw a post on Facebook. I'd just been browsing through some of the feed, the news feed, and somebody was posting about how the United States is slipping deeper and deeper into a police state and looking at different, police barbarity in our society. And one of the commenters, you know how people like tag their Facebook name with like their ideology or their philosophy, and they'll, you know, say Jim Voluntarist or Craig Voluntarist.
Or Christian Vegan Roar.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, this person had voluntarist tagged in his name. And he was advocating that, you know, we should have a stateless society, that we should, not have a police state, and that, you know, anarchy is the way things really should be, which I fully agree with. And yet, someone in the thread was talking about how all of this is because people have lost their morality. And this person with his name Voluntarist in his Facebook name said, the concept of morality is equally as illusory, based in illusion, as authority. Well, let me just say that again. The person said,
before the break, yeah, okay. Please, yeah.
Sure, he said, the concept of morality, of there actually being a difference between right and wrong behavior, is equally an illusion as the concept of authority. I'll pick up on that on the other side.
Yes, let's do that. Okay, folks, we're going to break. We're going to be on break for about 7 minutes. Please stick around. This is such an important show. Don't go away. We're going to be back with Mark Passio for a whole nother hour. I can't wait. Welcome back, everybody. You're here at Birth of a New Earth. I am Janice Barcello here with Mark Passio, and we are coming live to you at freedomslips.com. Folks, we are a totally listener-supported station. We don't accept any corporate sponsorship here. That's why during the commercial break you only hear commercials for other stations on this radio station. So please, if you want to keep this platform open and free, do make donations if you're able over at freedomslips.com. We would be so grateful. And now we're going to continue with this incredible discussion. Mark, when we left you, we're talking about moral relativism and morality and this person who made a very interesting comment about it.
Yes, and I like the little sound bite that was played in there. I believe that was the voice of Voldemort from the Harry Potter series about that there is no right or wrong. There is only power and those too weak to seek it. Yeah.
Yes, and that's Satanism at its finest.
That is Satanism in a nutshell right there. That encapsulates the whole ideology very succinctly. So this individual that was posting and responding to one of my friends on Facebook basically said, morality is equally as illusory as authority. And I laughed, it wasn't even laughing, it was such despair that all I could do was laugh. That I couldn't even bring myself to reply, to put a reply in the box and try to explain to this person the folly of their thinking. Because the funny part about it, or the ironic part, however you want to look at it, or the deeply sad part, however you want to look at it, is that this person considers himself a, quote, voluntarist, or an anarchist, if you will, and wants a free society. This person, if you asked him, would say, I want to be free, and I want other people to be free. And yet, he just said the very thing that absolutely is the most surefire way to ensure that freedom cannot ever be, that there is no such thing as right and wrong. This is what people have to understand, and this is part of the sad lack of understanding. People know that, many people recognize that freedom is being lost, that it's on the wane and it's, you know, basically being taken from humanity. The thing that they still haven't crossed the threshold and gone, you know, to the underlying reason, they don't know the why. They don't know why that's the condition that's being experienced. They haven't made the connection. They haven't actually made the logical connection between the underlying root cause and the experienced effect that is manifested in the world. And this is what natural law is. Natural law is that cause and effect relationship. And so few people understand it. So this individual and many like him would say, I want there to be freedom. I want to be free. I want others to be free. And yet still doesn't understand one of the overarching laws in nature, which I've come to call the law of freedom. So he wants freedom, yet he doesn't understand the laws upon which freedom operates. Still doesn't grasp that relationship. And this law of freedom in natural law is very simple. You could write it down as a simple equation. Freedom is proportional to morality. And vice versa. Morality is proportional to freedom. You could say it in its inverse. Slavery is inversely proportional to morality. Morality is inversely proportional to slavery. So what this means is, as morality increases, freedom increases. As morality declines, freedom declines. These two dynamics in the universe, in any society, no matter where it is in the universe, are inextricably interconnected. They can never be separated from each other. And this is what people still have failed to recognize.
People would benefit, okay, from beginning to understand that when you take pesticides and put them on your lawn, or insecticides to kill the insects or to kill any part of life, or you celebrate Thanksgiving with the carcass of a dead animal sitting on your kitchen table and are enjoying the consumption of an animal that has been imprisoned and tortured and mutilated and murdered so that you can have something pleasing to the palate, then clearly there is no morality and the degradation of life is extensive, you know, and far-reaching. And so insects can't be free to live. Okay, and the bees are dying, and the birds are dying, and everything in the ocean is dying from the nuclear radiation that's pouring into the ocean. You know, maybe people will begin to wake up and see how much they've contributed to the satanic reality. Mark, we have a caller. Do you want to take callers?
Sure, why not?
Caller from 970, you're on the line. Do you have a question or a comment? All right, Hans, I'm going to ask you to hang up on that caller because they're creating an echo anyway. Okay, so what I want for people to know is that they are contributing every day to the degradation of all of life, which is a satanic act.
Yes, exactly. And again, the causal relationship is still largely unknown by most people. They haven't made that association mentally yet, that a society that embraces the notion that there is no such thing as the objective difference between right and wrong is a society that can never be free. It's an impossibility, because freedom is based upon moral interactions with people. People interacting morally with each other are a free society. When a society is interacting with itself in an immoral capacity, that's a totalitarian society. This person who claims to be a voluntarist cannot understand that relationship because, see, in his mind, the concept of morality is invented. It's invented by religions. It's invented by people. It exists as a construct only in the mind. And nothing could be farther from the truth. The concept of morality is inherent to nature itself. It's inherent to the universe. I keep trying to explain to people, it wouldn't matter if the earth vanished today. There would still be the concept of right and wrong existent in the actual living dynamic memory of the universe. It's inherent to creation. It cannot be erased. No, any more than you could erase the entire universe, you know, with a whim, you know, with a desire. Right and wrong don't exist as a construct in a human's mind or in a society's collective mind. It exists inherently in nature. And people don't grasp that concept. They think it's subjective. We did a poll as part of our the seminar that I recently hosted here in Philadelphia called the Natural Law Seminar. And what we asked people at random as part of a homework assignment for the class was, is there such a thing as objective right and wrong that is separate from human perception? So in other words, are right and wrong inherent and objective, or are they based upon human perceptions? And they could change when human perceptions change. So like they could change on a whim or a changing of a like or a dislike or a preference. Okay. Is that what right and wrong are? Are they objective or are they subjective? So are they fixed or can they change based on human perception? The result is so disturbing because it shows you how it's an impossibility. It's an impossibility where we are at right now for humanity to be free. It cannot be. And I hate to, you know, dash people's hopes against the rocks like that by making a statement like that. But right now, where humanity is at in consciousness, there can not be freedom. It is an impossibility for that to occur. Well, unless this thinking is changed, unless people's thinking changes on a mass scale to understand that morality is objective and cannot be changed on a like, a preference, or a whim, okay, it is impossible for freedom to manifest on Earth. It cannot happen. No society that embraces moral relativism can ever be free. Every society from the dawn of civilization, from the dawn of intelligent life, to the death of the universe, if they embrace moral relativism, they will ultimately be an enslaved society. And again, this is the dynamic, this relationship between freedom and the inherent objective reality of the difference between right and wrong is what is not actively perceived and understood by the vast majority of the human population. That's the reason that they are enslaved. The very reason. That is the because. Why are you enslaved? Because. The cause for being. Okay? Why is this condition present? Well, that's the answer. The answer is because moral relativism is present. Our results in this study, okay, this anonymous polling of human beings in society about whether they thought that right and wrong are objective and don't change based on human perception, or whether they are subjective and change whenever human beings make up their mind that they could be something different, and then change, you know, what's right can become a wrong and what's wrong can become a right. Over. Now just really listen to this figure because it's so significant. Over 2/3 of human beings believe that right and wrong are subjective. Less than 1/3. I believe the result was 67%. 67% of people are moral relativists and believe that right and wrong are subjective.
You know,
well,
Mark,
that's proof right there. Therein is the proof. That is the actual proof that society cannot be free. It's an impossibility. Until that changes, until that dynamic changes, don't expect freedom. It will never be. It will never arrive until people understand freedom is tied to morality, morality is objective, and then it becomes your work to deeply understand for yourself the objective difference between right and wrong behaviors, and then to use your will to choose, actively choose in every moment, the right behavior over the wrong one in any given situation.
I want to say that this is a very, very, you know, thank you, because this is an incredibly important point. There's an element, you know, of mind control that's very, very profound in our culture that doesn't allow for people to see, for example, that putting poison on the earth to kill insects is morally reprehensible. They don't right. see that it's morally reprehensible to consume the flesh of animals. They could yes. be sitting at the table consuming a dead cow or a dead pig or a dead turkey or whatever animal it is, and saying horrible things about the people in China or some other country where they're consuming dead dogs or dead cats. But they don't see that they're doing the same exact thing. It's like there's something that's happened to short circuit the ability of American people to be able to see clearly, to be able to think yep. clearly. And this is a function of mind control.
Absolutely. It's a total disconnect in their logic. See, there's a stimulus response mechanism happening, and then they go right to behavior without processing the repercussions of the behavior that they're about to take in a logical sequence. That part, that logical processing is removed from the human equation, and they go right from the stimulus to the behavior in reaction. It's a reactive behavior, not one that is based in conscious action once knowledge of right and wrong has been processed. So that whole processing step is taken out of the equation in the mind. That's part of mind control. That's what the whole indoctrination system of stimulus response right to behavior is all about. So people will say that they want something. They'll say, I want a condition to be present. Again, let's just use this individual who's making this utterly moronic and ridiculous statement that there's no such thing as morality. Well, then I could take a brick and hammer on your face for a few hours, and I guess you'd have no problem with it.
And there really is no problem with it, then.
That's what I'd really like to type into the box. You know, how about if I just come over there and beat with a baseball bat for 3 hours solid? Well, you know, you'll have no problem with it, I guess, because there's no such thing as morality. You know, it's not right or wrong. It's just, why would I wonder what is so alien, the thinking is so alien to me. I wonder, how could you ever become concerned with wanting a voluntary society if you believe there's no such thing as morality? How does that even happen? You know, you just have a problem with authority, but you don't even know why you have a problem with it. You know, you wouldn't say it's wrong, because you would never make the statement anything is right or wrong if there's no such thing as morality. So obviously it's not just wrong, it's just, I guess he doesn't like it for him. You know, this is where the satanic mindset comes in. It's all about me. So since I don't like it, well, I could still say there's no such thing as morality, but because I don't like how I'm being treated in this instance, then I say I want a voluntary society. I don't even understand. I can't see how you can get from point A to point B of becoming a, quote, voluntarist and not understand that the whole thing with authority is based on moral wrongness, and that's why it needs to go away.
I want people to understand, too, how much they're a part of this, because if you look at your lawn and you say, I don't want that clover there and I don't want that crabgrass, so therefore I'm going to put, you know, poison all over it because I don't like the way that looks, you're doing the same exact thing that Mark is talking about. Millions of us are doing the same exact thing without giving it a second thought as to the you know, long-term problems that this is causing. If I don't like it, whatever. If I decide that I want to eat a piece of meat, too bad. It's my choice.
Right. And people will fight you tooth and nail over that, Janice. They'll insist that they'll make any justifications necessary.
Yes.
You know? So people will say to themselves, like, again, for example, this gentleman who is posting on Facebook and writing, you know, the ridiculous idea that there's no such thing as morality. But they'll say they want a particular state of being. If you ask that person, do you want freedom? You want peace in the world? You want, your rights as an individual being respected? He'll say yes to all of those things. So people will say they want specific conditions in their lives, and then you'll ask them, well, do you think those are the conditions right now? And they'll say, no, those aren't the conditions right now. We're nowhere near those conditions. You know, we have war going on everywhere. We have human rights being violated on a continuous basis. We have a totalitarian society, you know, coming in on us hot. And, well, then you'll say, well, those aren't the conditions now, right? So to get from here to there, to where you say you want to go, you want it to be free, you want it to be harmonious, you want it to be prosperous, you want it to be peaceful, okay? Do you think that there are requirements necessary for obtaining those conditions that you say you want? You ask people, are there requirements? Well, in other words, what you're asking them is, well, do conditions just magically manifest themselves? You say it, and then it suddenly becomes what is? And I think most people who have a brain that's functioning at all will say, no, of course not.
Wait, because there's people that are involved in the quote-unquote law of attraction, which I'd love for you to talk about. Who say, oh, if you think about that black Mercedes and think about that black Mercedes and think about that black Mercedes, suddenly it's going to manifest right in your reality. Right. You just got to focus on it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the perverted variant of the law of attraction, which is why I termed the whole seminar that I just recently gave here in Philadelphia the real law of attraction and how to apply it in your life. This has to do with how we're collectively co-creating the reality that we experience, not this, you know, new age, egotistical and borderline solipsistic notion that we create our reality individually just by thinking a certain way. And the concept that's twisted here is we are collectively creating the reality that we are all experienced by the way that we all collectively are thinking. Okay, so the things we are holding in our mind is what's patterning our behavior. That's what we're patterning our behavior upon, those axioms of belief. And then the behavior is what's creating the manifested conditions in life. You know, see, then when you go deeper than that and you get to, well, what's patterning those thoughts? What's formulating those thoughts that lead to those behaviors that create those conditions? Well, that's based upon the information that someone is gathering in their life, taking into themselves and processing, or in many cases not processing. And if that information is bad, faulty, or not present, if it's been removed or secreted away and hidden, or even, you know, in a more subtle sense, if people have been dissuaded from ever looking into whole bodies of information that they do need to know about to make accurate decisions, there's going to be an entire gap in the information that they are taking in and then making decisions upon to determine how they're going to act in the world. Then the behavior cannot possibly be sound. It cannot possibly be balanced. It's going to be faulty, and it's going to be based on untruths, and it's going to be based upon immorality, and ultimately you're going to generate chaos instead of order and goodness. So,
there's another piece that I want to add to that, and that is when your mind has been programmed with massive amounts of trauma, when your neurology is holding massive amounts of unresolved trauma, there is a magnetic, electromagnetic aspect to the creation and generation of reality. And the dark ones know exactly how to alter us, how to get us to create a chaotic, traumatic, extremely dark reality. They know how to sit us in front of the television and get us involved with their satanic rituals as we watch the Super Bowl or as we watch the opening ceremony to the Olympics. Yep. They know how to get us involved in the creation of a satanic reality.
It's an induction. I mean, let's call it what it is. They do a hypnotic induction upon the population.
It's interesting you use the word induction, considering how many babies are being induced, forced to come out of the mother's womb before their time. So what I'm saying is they know how to program us to participate in the creation of a very dark reality.
Absolutely, because they have this knowledge that I'm about to refer to. They have the knowledge of how the human psyche actually works and operates, and we lack that knowledge. We don't know the self, you know, and we don't know what's going on. Again, you talked about unresolved traumas. We don't know what the unresolved traumas that are going on in our subconscious are, because we're in most cases, people are unwilling to work with that shadow material within themselves. They won't open up those doors. They won't go into the bottom of those, you know, old and dusty trunks, metaphorically, to probe the depths of all of that subconscious trauma and then bring it up to the conscious level and deal with it and heal it. People don't want to do that work. They run away from that work on a daily basis. You know, that's hard work to do.
It is. Many do, but the rewards are great, and certainly one of the rewards is breaking free from the satanic stranglehold over your mind and over your future, over your kids, over your family, you know, over your country, over the whole planet. If we don't do this work, we're doomed, folks.
Yep. And it involves knowing the self, and it also involves knowing the laws of nature, of reality, of the universe, universal laws. So we have to know the microcosm, which is the self, the human psyche, and we have to know the macrocosm, which are the boundary conditions that act as the governing dynamics for behavior that are existent in the universe, which I refer to as natural law. So, you know, when you ask people again, well, you know, are there requirements for obtaining what you say you want? Like we were talking about before, and you referred to people think, well, magically things just happen, like the law of attraction, new age variant. For people who are a little bit, you know, more well-grounded and, you know, understand that things don't really work like that, just wishing it and it appears, they realize that you have to do work, as we're talking about, to get to what you want. You know, it doesn't just magically manifest just because you say you want a different condition. Well, there's requirements, especially from where we're at now. We're so far toward the other polarity. A lot of work is going to be required to changing the mind and understanding the truth and, you know, accepting that which really is and getting
and
rid of
healing
these,
ourselves and right. healing our psyches.
Sure. You know, and a lot of that process is letting go of the attachments to illusions that we believe are real, that we've been fed constantly through mind control repetition, that we are attached to and we believe they're real. And not only do we believe they're real, we believe they're necessary and we can't live without them. When in fact, these are the things that are actually holding us back from progression in consciousness. So when you ask people, are there requirements? Most people will say, yes, there are probably requirements for obtaining the things that people say that they want, the conditions that we say we want in life. Well, if there's requirements and we don't have the conditions that we say we want, then I think it would be fair to say that those requirements are not being met. Okay, I don't think anybody would argue with that. There's requirements to getting the condition that people say that they want. We don't have the conditions that we say we want. Therefore, the requirements cannot be being met. It's impossible. Otherwise, we would already have what we say we want. Yeah.
That mostly, when you ask people, what is it that they really want?
Yep.
Many people are going to say something like, I want a better house or I want a better car. Very few people are going to say, you know, I want to experience the fulfillment of human love.
Right.
You know?
We actually did this experiment also in the natural law seminar. We actually asked people, what are the things that you want most in life? And essentially, the answers that we got were largely based in service to self. You know, people didn't include values, really. They said that they wanted their own happiness and satisfaction first. That was first and foremost. It made up the overwhelming bulk of the responses. I want happiness. I want to be happy. Me. I want to be satisfied and have comfort. Happiness, satisfaction, and comfort were the number one response that people brought back. And that's, again, that's rooted in ego. That's what I want for me. You know, after that was their own success. So I want happiness, satisfaction, comfort, success, wealth, and prosperity were was the number two response. Their own health came third. So they're more concerned about whether they're happy and wealthy even than whether they're healthy or not. And again, we still haven't moved out into the realm of values. We still haven't moved out into the realm of looking at anything outside the self. So the first three responses, overwhelmingly.
Was human love a possible answer on this?
Yes, that was next. That was fourth. Human love, or interpersonal relationship, you know, defining love in that way. That was the fourth response. After that, you started to get into things for others, which was peace, and then family's success. But again, we're still in the familial bond. You know, we're not talking about we want prosperity for all. I want my prosperity and then my family's prosperity. Okay? Having a family was one underneath that. And then way down at the bottom of the list, freedom, just above personal possessions. Now, just think about that. personal possessions were at the bottom of the list. And again, I think most people aren't really honest in a poll like this, even though it was anonymous. They don't want people to think they want possessions. So few will answer, I want things. And they'll talk about some form of value. But again, most people were very honest in saying that they only really cared about themselves and they only wanted their own happiness and satisfaction. When we totaled all the results, it came down to this split. Out of all the things people said that they wanted in life, all the things that comprised service to self modalities of thinking totaled 84% of their total responses for all the people polled. So think about it. That means 84% of the stuff that is on people's mind all day, every day, is about what they want for themselves, not anything to do with what's going on in the world at all. 84%. Again, if you think that there can be freedom when this is the mentality, good luck with that. There's no possibility for freedom this mentality.
The mentality is based on a survival instinct, okay, that we understand on a very subconscious level that there is an energy that's quite large that is out to harm us, that is out to get us, that is pleased when we suffer. Many of us mistake that energy for God, but it's not God, it's the opposite of God. And the fact is that people are responding to what they want from a very deep place of deprivation, of, loss, of feeling, terrified for their survival and for the survival of their families and of the people that they love. And so I don't blame people for seeking, to want sustenance, basic sustenance. And when you're struggling to have that, to have higher aspirations, let me contribute to
it's very difficult. Yep.
To the fulfillment of the divine dream, it's not like people are there because we are suffering, we are being attacked. We have psychopathic murderers trying to kill us.
Right.
Seriously.
I totally agree. What I still think people don't understand is that the way that the laws of the universe are structured don't take into account whether the reason why you're choosing a certain thing. It doesn't say, this person felt trapped because he believes he has no other way of making money other than to oppress people in a Nazi regime. The karmic consequence that is going to be experienced by taking immoral action or continuing to think in an immoral capacity is still going to be brought about. And this is done so that the being has a chance to, through that suffering that they're experiencing as a result of behaving that way, make the recognition consciously between the behavior and the result that they get. I liken it to putting your hand over an open flame, willfully doing that, turning on a gas range and putting your hand right over the open blue flame, the blue hot flame. The universe doesn't care why you did it. You're going to get the result. There's an interaction there that is 100% based in pure logic. And this is what people have a problem with. They think that the universe cares about them. They think that, now I'm not talking about the creator of the universe. I'm talking about the universe itself. The universe itself is operating according to law, boundary conditions.
You're acting like there isn't a creator. If what you're saying is accurate, okay, then the children who are starving, okay, in a country that's totally droughted out, like Africa, then they must have done something to deserve.
Oh no, I'm not taking that notion of the law of attraction at all. I'm not saying that they are deserving of that. I'm talking about when people say they want a particular condition and ignore what is required to create that condition, the requirement for creating that condition, okay, they don't make the recognition that as for as long as they continue to think that way and to do those behaviors, that it is an impossibility to create that condition. So in other words, if you want a building built, you have to assemble the materials and then actually build it with tools, put it together in a way that it is structurally sound or it is not going to stand. The universe doesn't care whether or not you understand the laws of gravity and mechanics and, you know, leverage to get that building built. It's going to give you the result of what you currently have built within yourself, the knowledge you have put into yourself. And the result that you're going to get is only going to be as good as the knowledge that you have to create that structure. Similarly, natural law are boundary conditions. And in no way am I saying there is no creator. The creator of the universe placed these boundary conditions into effect for the best movement, the most forward motion of our evolutionary development in consciousness, because we're always getting exactly what we create.
It's not, Mark, I mean, here's the thing. The creator didn't create a universe that's indifferent to our suffering or our struggling. And what we are, the reality that is being generated from a traumatized circuitry, system of circuitry, is not necessarily a function of whether or not we're good people. It's a function of what has been deliberately done to us from the get-go by the Satanists that we were originally talking about.
I agree that there is an origin for the condition. And make no mistake, what we're talking about as the origin of the condition is that mindset. What I'm saying is the universe is going to continue to allow that condition to manifest forever, for as long as the people. The universe isn't saying, I'm taking into account that these people have been traumatized. It's saying all it's looking at is, are they continuing to behave this way? Are they continuing to act this way? Are they continuing to think this way? Well, then this is the result that must be generated, because we're the ones who are generating the result. This is it's a very, very difficult thing for most people to look at when it comes to my work about natural law, because the universe, it does behave like a computer. It does behave on pure logic. I'm not saying that the creator of the universe is some kind of a program. I'm saying that the actual construct for the experience and growth of the consciousness that is in this holographic reality that we are experiencing, it operates on laws that are like a computer. It's analogous to computer logic. The actual mechanisms, the boundary conditions of natural law, don't have emotions. They don't look at why anybody's behaving a certain way. They don't look at what the thinking, the distorted logic in the thinking that is saying, I have to continue to do this and this and this and this. It throws all of that out. It's like programming something into a computer. If you put bad code into a computer and then you hit the execute button on the program, you tell the computer to run that program, it's going to give you exactly what you programmed into it. Most people have a hard time realizing that this is what our reality is like. They don't want it to be like that.
I don't think it is like that either, because the Creator created a universe based on love. There is an opposite force that has interjected itself into this universe that is based on logic with no feelings, that has the capacity to torture infants.
That force isn't based on logic at all. That force is based on total ego run amok and pure chaos. The logic I'm talking about is, and see, what I have to put in here is the other component, okay? To understand where the love part comes in, and I agree, the creator of the universe did not create this universe to torture us. Okay? This is what the dark occultists believe. They look at the whole universe as a prison for souls, and that's why they want to rule in hell, okay, rather than reign in heaven and serve the will of creation, okay? The force that the Creator brought into being.
Wait. I want to hear that again.
Yeah.
That's
the dark occultists look at the universe as pure hell because they want to be able to do whatever they want with no repercussions, with no boundary conditions. Okay? They don't want natural law to exist. They're trying to turn natural law on its head, upside down, and be insulated from the effects of it forever so that they can continue to rule in a prison of their design as the kings of that prison. They don't care that they're in a prison of their own making as long as they can get to rule it over other beings who are even...
Well, that's what they'll get. And some of us are going to be, you know, living in a reality based on love.
but let me go back to this concept of natural law as something that is based in pure logic, okay? Because I think there's still a disconnect from what I'm actually saying and how you're interpreting it or perceiving it. The Creator does manifest love. It does that by creating the boundary conditions for the evolutionary development of the consciousness within the creation. But it steps aside after those boundary conditions have been created that are called natural law, this body of universal cosmic spiritual laws that govern, that act as the governing dynamics for consciousness and behavior. Okay? The Creator steps aside from that out of love, because if it tried to control the outcome or the result, that would be control, and that wouldn't be love. The perfect act of love is to give total free will to the consciousness within the creation so that it can make free will choice as to whether it will align itself with those spiritual laws or whether it will continue to live in opposition and reject those laws and ultimately create a chaotic result. We are always and forever creating, along with the dynamic interplay between our free will, which is the Creator's gift to all the consciousness in the creation, and natural law. So there is a deterministic mechanism at work, which is natural law. And this is, again, what many people don't like to hear. They look at that as, well, that can't possibly be, but it is. There is a deterministic mechanism in place along with a randomness mechanism. The deterministic mechanism is natural law, which acts as boundary conditions that govern behavior. And then there's a free will component. The free will component, and when I say govern behavior, I don't mean control the outcome. What I mean is, let me try to encapsulate this. We make a free will decision. We choose a behavior. The behavior goes into the field of reality, the universal dynamic living intelligence that makes up everything, what's called the unified field scientifically. That field is dynamic living intelligence. It is pure consciousness. That field is ultimately reflecting back to us that which we have put out into it through our behavior. Okay? Not only through our thoughts and our emotions, but most of all through our behaviors. There is a computer logic that is running behind the scenes that is saying, let's look at the behavior that they put out. And it doesn't take into consideration, this is another thing that the New Age community has a difficult time with, that this computer logic that is ultimately these boundary conditions that I call natural law does not take into consideration the reason someone chose a behavior. That's on them. That's their karmic consequence. That is their responsibility to look at the availability of data, to make a choice, and to own the responsibility for the choice of that behavior. All the universe, all that universal field of intelligence is doing is it's saying, what did they choose? What's the behavior they chose? And then here's the result that has to be put back into the field for them to experience. Until they make the causal relationship, the cause and effect relationship between the choice of the behavior and the result that they have received. This is what I'm calling the knowledge of the requirements to obtaining what we want, what we say we want. And I always say what we say we want because people will say they want something and they really don't have any intention of really getting that thing. Because they'll say, I want freedom. Then you say, well, there's requirements for obtaining freedom. It doesn't just happen magically or automatically, especially based on the level of control that is already manifested and present. Then you'll say, are you willing to accept that there are requirements to changing that and then align your behavior to those requirements? And most people will say, absolutely not. I want freedom to manifest even if I don't align my behavior to those requirements. And this is what I'm trying to explain to people through a deeper understanding of natural law. That can never happen then. It's impossible for that to happen.
I want to say that if we think about the order of creation as what was given to us through the natural world and the interconnection between all of life, that when you alter one aspect through genetically modified food, okay, mm-hmm. you have taken an action that is impermissible.
Sure.
Because what you're doing, you have no idea how it's going to affect the whole interweb life. And so now you have this genetically modified organism that's producing superweeds, that's ending up killing the bees. So now the food's
It's a ripple effect because everything is dynamically interconnected. If we take it one step farther,
It's not logic that's operating here. There's a fantastically loving, interconnected web of intelligence behind all of this. And it is us who is violating
that web. I'm in total agreement. We're not operating according to that logic. That's the whole point I'm trying to say.
But it's love. It's not logic. It's not we should be able to see if we've taken an impermissible action very quickly.
Love is the force that opens up our reception to that knowledge. The knowledge between right and wrong. Love is the force that allows our consciousness to open up and accept that truth into ourselves and then take the necessary action. Okay, so again, we're talking about the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong, the knowledge of the requirements to getting what we say that we want. Now, if that knowledge is withheld, but even before we get into that, you talked about genetic modification and how that creates a ripple effect. I was going to say, let's just take it one step.
The genetic modification of the human species.
That's right.
That results in the fact that we use a very small portion of our brain potential and that most of our DNA is dormant. Of course.
And now what kind of a ripple effect will that have in
creation? Exactly. You see
it. Yeah. But again, this is stuff that I'm all going to be getting into in future What on Earth is Happening podcasts. I'm going to be talking about the origins of the human condition, the origins of evil, the origins of psychopathy. And I'm going to be getting into cosmic abandonment issues because ultimately all the desire for authority and the kind of, structure and order that people think is order and really it's chaos through control, okay, that people are craving comes from the parental figure not being present. And I don't mean just physically. I mean in a cosmic sense. They're not being a mother or father type energy or mother or father type overarching archetypal figure, okay, and that cosmic abandonment is what leads us to say, I want the government to act as mommy. I want the government to act as daddy. Because we're really a species, not only with amnesia, but we're a species with cosmic mommy and daddy abandonment issues. And unless we understand that those abandonment issues on a deep level, we're not going to understand why the human condition is the way that it is. To go back to what we were talking about, if you modify one thing genetically, that has a ripple effect. And again, you imagine if you modify a whole species genetically, what are the ripple effects? What are going to be the negative and unintended consequences for doing such an act that is completely against the true natural order of the harmony of creation, the way that the code of life was actually written by the Creator itself?
So the species would have a tendency to revert back to its pristine condition if the dark forces were not so busy trying to hold it in place, through their GMO foods, through their vaccines, through their chemtrails and their harp and their fluoride and their nuclear radiation. They are very busy trying to keep us in a state of mutation.
in no way am I trying to say that all of those factors don't play into this, and mind control is certainly a very, very strong factor. Mm. I covered it for over a year on my podcasts, all the different multifaceted methodologies of manipulation of the mind. I still think people have to get down to the understanding that there is still a law that governs what we get back from what we put out into creation. It's been called karma. And again, it is only taking into account the behaviors that we choose. Therefore, the requirements for getting what we say we want is changing behaviors, and behaviors can only ultimately change if we change our thoughts. Now, that knowledge, if that knowledge is held back, those requirements, the understanding of how right and wrong function, how right and wrong exist inherently, and how our behaviors function in choosing right action or wrong action to bring us consequences, to bring us the results that we then experience and live in manifested reality. If that knowledge has been hidden away, okay, if it has been removed from common knowledge, which it has been, people don't know those requirements, okay, then it becomes impossible to create those conditions. That's what a dark occultism has done. It has dissuaded people from looking into natural law. Yes.
We also need to seek healing for what's happened to our nervous system to affect what we're creating from the fountainhead from which it stems, from the core of our genetic alteration to the trauma-based mind control that we've all been exposed to everything that is being, you know, thrown at us right now. All of this has to be taken into account for us to overcome this. It's not just a simple choosing right and wrong, although we need to do that too, absolutely. There's a deeper fountainhead that needs to be dealt with that stems from the core of our problem, genetic modification. And
the more polluted that the body is and the more polluted the mind is through yeah. what people are putting into it energetically, negatively, the less there is going to be a tendency to be able to understand that objective right. difference between right and wrong in morality.
How do people find you, Mark? We're just about out of time. How do they
sure.
find you?
My main website is whatonearthishappening.com. I suggest people check out the podcasts on that page and go from podcast number one and work your way forward. whatonearthishappening.com.
And then the freeyourmindconference.com, what's that about?
Yes, I held two conferences, co-hosted two conferences along with many other great activists here in Philadelphia. It was called Free Your Mind. We had the first one in 2011, the second one this year back in April. That's on freeyourmindconference.com. We'll be putting up the videos very shortly for the Free Your Mind 2 conference as well.
And we can't wait for that. Thank you for taking this time, Mark. God bless you all. We'll be back again next week at 8 p.m. Talk to you then. Bye for now, everybody.